comes in red and gray too. It comes in just any color you want to.
That's right.
You know, but black and white is often referred to when you only know words and law and rules and regulations. That's usually the word black and white. Well, I put it in black and white for me.
Right.
But life isn't black and white. It just isn't. Life is multifaceted, multicolored, and there's really no way you can find your way. Yes, you can. Yes, you can find your way. But you have to get stuck to find out that you can't find your way. And the most wonderful thing for you to happen to you is to get stuck in your life somewhere. That's not what you want. To get stuck in a relationship, get stuck in a financial bondage, get stuck in some kind of limitation. To know to reach beyond yourself. To be able to find the humility to ask. If you ever read the scripture, ask. And what does it say?
And it shall be given.
Some of us are too prone to ask because we're looking for someone else to do for us. There is just no single way to describe things. But if you've been to school lately, these are called about the states of matter. Right, that's what grade level do you get this in? Grade 10, grade 9, grade 11, whatever. Early on towards your GED, right? Well, what changes from one to the other? What's different from here to here to here? The same stuff.
Tell us, physics
teacher. Huh? Tell us. See, here, this is really H2O steam up here. And this is really H2O here, and this is really H2O, which is solid. Solid,
liquid,
and gas. Three states of matter, but they're all the same substance. Well, what changes? What?
Temperature.
Yeah. Temperature is the difference, right? And temperature is controlled by it's all got molecules, right?
Yeah.
Little tiny things. And they're doing what?
Vibrating.
There
you go.
Vibrating like this. Like this. And then like this. And there's definite borders here. This one occurs at 32 degrees Fahrenheit, and this one occurs at 100 degrees centigrade. Let's not switch scales on me here. What is it?
212.
212, most places. You get a little higher,
elevation.
A little less, lower, it's a little. All right, so those are the, this is all having to do with H2O, right? There's a distinct frequencies here, or distinct. Oh, I gave the word away. It's frequency.
Change the question.
Frequency. It's frequency. There's the word. Now, frequency usually means how often something occurs, frequently or infrequently. How often something occurs in a certain space of time. So it's cycles per second, CPS.
Vibration frequency. So the difference here is frequency. Well, now let's talk spiritually. I'm only going to talk about two levels because I don't know anymore. I've been dumbed down. I used to be really smart. I was really brilliant. I was bright. I was glorious. I was wonderful. And somebody sent me down here and I got dumb like all of us. Yeah, we're all mostly dumb. Some of us think we're smarter than others, really. Relatively speaking, we're dumb. But we're not stupid.
Yeah, because you can't fix
it. Oh, well, we've been stupid. Stupid is as stupid does. I probably have a little stupidity. Yes, I do. But I am finally discovering that I'm not dumb because I did anything wrong or because there's anything wrong with me. Being dumb isn't bad. It's thinking that there's dumb, that there's something wrong with you.
That's good.
Dumb is A-okay. Because it's all relative anyway. There's always somebody with a higher IQ and a lower IQ. No? And if you just surround yourself with people who are all at lesser IQ or greater IQ or whatever, it's relative. And then it's uncles and aunts and there you go. So I'm only going to concern myself with two levels here. And here is the physical. And here is what we call the non-physical. We call it non-physical because we don't really know what it is. Or we call it spiritual. But really, this is spiritual. So I don't know what we call this. Where David is. He isn't really gone. We just can't feel him anymore like we used to. But he's not gone, is he, Shirley? David's still alive, still loving you, still helping you with your children, still praying for you and with you, and he knows a few things now that he didn't know before, and he's helping. All right, so what do we want to call this?
The unseen.
Unseen. Oh, I like that. That's good. Thank you. Or non-physical, NP. All right, so now what's the difference between this and this?
Vibrations.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you. Wow, that came quick, didn't it?
She did.
Wow. Well, that's what all that was for. So we come quick. It's all about frequency. It's the same stuff, I promise you. I didn't ever believe that. I thought that once you left the physical plane, that there wasn't anything physical. There weren't atoms and molecules. But it's not true anymore. Well, I can't hold a defender and tell you this now. But there's my deep, profound persuasion that the stuff that I'm made of now is the same stuff my etheric body is made of. Or my light body. Or any body. You got to have a body. You got to have a body here to be in, and it's flesh and bone and blood. Flesh and bone and blood. Right? And here you've got to have a body. And it's made of the same stuff. And it's all made of the same stuff, and we'll just call it light. This body is made of light too, even though it's frequency, see?
Vibration, frequency.
Now once you know that, then it's not so hard to think that we went to be with your mom. We were connected with your mother for a brief moment, truly. But it's not hard to believe that we were momentarily connected for a brief moment in time. Right? Because the worlds are frequency. And once you release yourself from the thought that you're physically and you're bound to what you can see, touch, taste, and smell, and if you can't touch, taste, and smell, and feel it, it's not real. Once you're released from that thought, then you can go. You go anywhere. You go. You do. Truly, truly go. All right? Well, that was That was all about today. But here is something. All right.
I need to do this slowly.
And the script is, I know how. And I'd like to keep you with me. It's not important, Miss Teacher. If the students don't go with you, what do you got?
Nothing. Trouble.
Trouble. It's tough.
You just start throwing things at them.
You start to have a revelation.
Now, I'm not pretending to be your teacher. I am not. I really am not. There's somebody inside of you teaching you all the time.
Amen.
Yes.
Amen. Thank you, Father.
But maybe you can stir them up a little.
Cause them to remember.
Huh?
Cause them to remember.
Yeah. I can maybe stir you up a little. Maybe I can serve you by stirring up the teacher inside of you. Because the teacher can't teach if you don't ask. He's sort of limited. The teacher inside of you, and this is what I'd like to do with Garrett this morning. And Garrett, please don't be offended.
Uh-oh.
You might.
Get ready.
Uh-oh.
But this is a Bible. Have you got one,
Yes.
I know. Good. And I don't need to give you this. All right. I'd like you to just, for 1 week.
1 week.
Open it every morning. But before you open it, say, God, lead me to a scripture. And then just open it. And just read that particular scripture.
Can I do that too?
Can you?
We can all do that.
But I should do it this year. If I'm asking him to do it, I should do it.
Yeah.
Huh?
I'll do it.
Will you do it?
I'll do it.
Yeah, well, I'll do it.
For 1 week.
1 week.
I'll try to do it for you. Remind me.
I will.
This is really tough.
I think Garrett might need a reminder too.
Now, this is
something. We'll be over about 5:30.
Facebook reminder, Cheryl.
Now, if you don't like point. This Bible, you can pick any book you want.
Okay.
I wouldn't.
No, make Christina
maybe.
Do the
huh?
book. Make her do the book.
Maybe the
song. I'll come mad.
So,
I'll go like, you know what?
There might be some books that really wouldn't work. Like the dictionary. Well, maybe a dictionary will work really good. But it's really, in a sense, it's not about the book, because it's about the teacher inside of you. And he can come any way he wants to. You wake up in the morning and say, God, touch me today in a way I've never been touched before. And say that for a morning, every day, every morning, for a whole week. What is it? It's a little routine to help us in the right direction. It's got no rituals. Only help you if you know that you're greater than the ritual.
Right.
If you think you serve the ritual,
right.
Make the cross, have a cross around your neck, genuflex, read the Bible, I mean, any number of rituals, they don't, unless you know they serve you, they don't really help. Oh, all right. Yeah, all right, I'm going to try not to fall down on your job. I'm not going to...
I'll remind you.
That's enough, right, today? All right, no. Okay, I'm not going to get today very far, but I'm going to get started and maybe we'll finish it next week. But I want to talk about my most favorite subject. I hear it is in Luke chapter 20. I've read this chapter often enough that I shouldn't have to read it again. You remember? And it came to pass on one of those days, as he taught the people in the temple and preached the gospel, the chief priests and the scribes came upon him with the elders. Did that happen to you?
Okay.
The chief priests and the scribes came upon you with the elders. Sometimes they come with a little cherry light. Sometimes it comes with a... I sentence you. Sometimes it comes, you're going to go to hell. They come in many ways. But what I want to know today about this scripture, they said to him, Jesus, we want to know by what authority you do these things. And of course they were concerned about the people listening to him. They were jealous. They wanted the people to be looking towards them. They wanted to maintain their control. and they wanted to challenge him, hopefully he'd say something that would be turning the people away from him. But instead, he turned the boat on big time. Remember the story? He says, well, I'll tell you, but you have to answer a question first. The baptism of John, was it of man or was it from God? And they were political about this. He says, we want our ratings to go up here. We don't want... We want to be here for the next election. I mean, they said, if we say that it was from God, he's going to say, well, why didn't you listen to him? If we say it was from men, the people will stone us because they love John the Baptist, which we're, what's the word? We're skewered. That's good. We're skewered. We're done. We've had it. We don't know. They said to Jesus, we can't answer the question. He said, well, I guess then I don't need to answer your question either, do I? And the people just loved it. Oh man, they just, well, they loved to see him put down those Pharisees because they pretended to sit in the power of God, but they never served anyone. They never helped anyone. They were never compassionate for anyone. We'll get to that a little bit later. That's what the subject of this parable is about. And so then Jesus turned around and he said, now here's a parable for you. And of course, the parable answers the question. By what authority do I do these things? The parable answers the question. Now what I want you to remember when you read this, if you read this, there are personalities involved. Just like there's in your life. There's a husband, there's a wife, there's a friend, or there's a no husband or no wife or no friend. There's people, personage, circumstances in your life to help you react and relate to. But in this story, there's personalities. There's scribes, Pharisees, there's Jesus, there's the disciples, and there's the people. Those are the dynamics. But the parable really isn't about those people. The parable is about the energies they hold. It really isn't about a husband and no husband. It's about the energy it holds.
Mm-hmm. That's where it comes down to.
It's if you can have a hole in the wall and draw a heart around it and say, love doesn't do that, you've touched the energy. You've gone beyond the person.
Right.
And you've touched the energy. And that's what the whole physical creation is about. It's a manifestation of different energies, so the energies can be seen. It gets really, really real. When somebody says, I hate you, that's one thing. But then when they take a knife and they stab you, either with words, they stab you in your heart, then you know they hate you. I mean, there's no doubt left in your mind that they hate you. So the physical, all it does, you didn't know this, because it's your perception of the physical world that either allows it to serve you or control you. It's not the world itself that's evil. It's not the people that do that's evil. It's not about rapists, murderers, lovers, and actresses and actors. And it's about energy, and it's about your perception of it, how you see it.
Yeah.
Right, Jimmy? I mean, yeah. Yeah. Jimmy can keep you on your seat for hours telling you stories. And if it's only stories about people and you never learn, then there's always more people and more stories. But if you learn to see that these people are all energies for you to do something with, for you to respond to or not respond to, for you to understand, for you to know, for you to grow, for you to know and for you to grow.
Very good.
Then you've started a different path. Salvation has come to your house. And when you say Jesus saves, what he really does when he comes into your life, he helps you switch from being earth and gravitationally bound to circumstances, people, and substance, and realize that you're in an energy flow and you can flow with him into greater worlds, into greater understanding. So here it is. In this parable, there are two key words. And you see, it's easier for me to get sidetracked. You notice that? But they're wonderful little sidetracks.
Yes.
All right. He began to speak to the people. A certain man planted a vineyard and lent it forth to husbandmen and went away into a far country for a long time. And every time I read this, I'm more and more fascinated by it, because these are energies. A certain man planted a vineyard. What is that energy? That's someone in hope and in longing and anticipation performing an act for some other desired result. That's the energy for that, right? And it ended forth the husbandman. It was something that happened in time and in space. An energy came with an intent and a purpose, and in order to accomplish its purpose, it lent its purpose and made it subject to certain other energies called servants, husbandmen. And then he went into a far country for a long time. A far country is space, a long time is time. Space-time, he left space-time. In other words, it's talking about what God's intent and purpose is for space-time, for the physical world, for creating all the levels, not just the physical, but all those levels that are made of light. There is a great divine intent and purpose, and Jesus is dealing with that cosmic and beyond cosmic purpose in a simple little parable told to people on a hillside, the two of 12 disciples, and they got locked into this parable, and we've never seen it for 2,000 years. And why are we seeing it today? Because there's an awakening in our hearts. We're realizing we're not just physical. It's not just about us getting saved, going to heaven, and it's not even about us having a happy life. No, I prefer a happy life to a miserable one.
Yes, me too.
Go for it. Have a happy one.
Amen.
Make the right choices. Right? Have a happy one. Yes, and it's a lot depends on the choices you make, but sometimes God needs you to go down a deep, dark hole because he wants to show you something. And the only place that you can see it in the deep dark hole. So don't condemn yourself because you've been in the dark hole, or if you are in the dark hole. Once you realize that you are pure divine energy from God, God only loves you, God only does good in you, then wherever you are is the place you're supposed to be, and you start opening your heart and ask God, let me know, let me see, and let me understand. Right? It all depends on attitude. The whole thing's about your attitude. And when your attitude finally begins to agree with this. Now, listen to the parable. Two things. He sent servants, and it didn't go really good with his servants. They ended up wanting to harvest for themselves. Not a good deal. So he sent some other servants. And he killed. The first servants killed the servants. He sent. That didn't go so good. And then finally he said, well, I'm going to send my son. Him they will revere. Well, God's a little confused here, isn't he? They didn't revere him. They killed him just the same. Right? And Jesus is talking about himself in this parable and the authority that he came for. And he came to act out a part. He knew they were going to kill him. He knew it. He came for that purpose. He came to reveal the energies. He had to play his part. Wow. You're not victorious because you decide on a goal and then you accomplish it. You become victorious when your heart opens to see the purpose and you can fully walk in it.
Amen.
How beautiful is that? And he gives us this model. Right? So when you've ended up on your butt, or worse than that, ended up in a hole you couldn't get out of, it isn't necessarily because that's exactly where he ended up. He ended up strung out on a tree, nailed and crucified and scourged. Because he obeyed God. Because he found his place in eternal purpose. Right?
Yes.
So release yourself today. If you've not released yourself yet, release yourself. All right, and then the husband and saw him, they reasoned among themselves. This is the heir. Whoa, they've got something right. This is the heir. So there's two kinds of beings in this parable. Two kinds of beings. There is the heir. who can inherit, and there's the servants. And traditionally, we've called this one the Son, right? And this one we've called angels or messengers. And there are two energies. Here's what the New Testament has to say about these energies. The Son energy and a servant energy. And in Galatians chapter 4, it says, "Now I say," and this is something that you've probably heard before, "Now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child," right? Now if this heir is a child, then he's over here. And what's the difference between a child and a mature individual? What's the difference? What's the difference between maturity and childishness? What's the difference?
Age.
Huh? Understanding is the difference.
Experience, knowing.
And understanding comes through experience in this world. Right? But not just experience. Experience that you're willing to own. You're willing to be changed by.
Yes,
that's right. 100%.
You can have all kinds of experience, but it won't do you any good if you're not willing to be changed. Not willing to listen. Not willing to open up your Bible once in a while and say, "Okay, God, talk to me," or if it's the newspaper or whatever, just, you know, again, well, the Bible is sort of special, folks. This Bible is the oldest book on the planet. It is. And it's the only book on that planet that claims divine inspiration for itself with substantial reason to prove that it's so. The Bible is really different than any other book. There's lots of wonderful things being said. And the Bhagavad Gita, I want to read it. I have read a little bit of it. I want to read more of it. I want to read the Quran. I want to read The Man and the Sea. The Old Man and the Sea. Shakespeare. All the world is but a stage, and we excellent players that don't just strut and fret an hour on the stage and hurt no more, but victoriously overcome in all circumstances that come our way. That's the edited version of William Shakespeare.
Yes, I like that better.
But I felt that way too. I have felt that we are just poor players that fret and strut an hour and then are hurt no more. Yeah, I felt that way, so I'm not trying to change what he says. Everything has to be said. All your feelings have to be said. But it's about feeling, it's about energy, and it's about owning feeling and owning energy as we go along. So, the child, as long as he is a child of heirs, differeth nothing from a servant, though he be Lord of all. Now these are energies that can flow in you. You don't have to be Jesus for this. You don't have to be a Pharisee for this. But you can act both of them out. The same energies can be in you. The energy of the Son can dominate your life, and you can truly be the Son of the ever-living God and live in full sonship in your life, but only if you allow understanding to come by the Spirit. Only if you want to live. Let me say a couple more quick things. Because this is such a wonderful subject. It's really, really more like a week, and I don't know if a week would deal with it. Hebrews, the first and the second chapters. The whole of the first chapter of the whole book of Hebrews is about two things. Let me read you one verse. You know, God, who at sundry times and in diverse manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken unto us by a different energy.
By son.
And not just about a different individual, by a different energy came on the scene. A different energy came on the planet. And he was the first to bring that energy, right? By whom also he made the worlds. Well, there's an energy for you. You don't think that the embodiment of Jesus made the worlds. No, it was a divine energy that created the worlds. The divine intelligence that was embodied to be known by and to understood in Zachariah Horton Patterson.
Curtis.
Get it right. Zachariah Curtis Patterson. The first.
The only.
You're the only. You're the only embodiment of the eternal energy to come in your form. Jesus was the first linearly. There had never been anybody on the planet ever exhibited that energy. But you are the last. There's you. You are the embodiment of that energy, if you will allow it to be. It's not just automatic, right? How wonderful is that? Now, he spends a whole chapter, and I'll just abbreviate it for you, to define the difference between the angels who are ministering servants. Hello? Have you appealed to any angels? Have any angels come around to you? Being psychic, being from the other side, bringing you intelligence and love and light, they are ministering servants. They're wonderful. And you can get at them sometimes with tarot cards, or there's different ways, or a crystal ball, or whatever. There's different ways of connecting with the non-physical plane. And it's all good. It's all wonderful, right? Absolutely. It is good. But let me add to that, not but in the sense of diminishing it in any way or shape or form. Listen to this. Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who should be heirs? Where is it? Who should be heirs. Of salvation. Or simply air. Now, for the word, chapter 2, for if the word spoken by angels was steadfast. Do you know what that's referring to? The word spoken by angels was steadfast. Let me read a little bit more so you can catch it. And every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward. Now do you know what it is?
Yeah.
It's talking about the word spoken by angels is the law. The dispensation of the Old Testament was spoken by angels and administered by angels. That's why we have so hard time trying to understand what happened in the Old Testament, killings and murder and all that stuff just doesn't add up to us, because we forget to realize that we're not living in the days of the Old Testament.
Thank God. But it was
in a sensation. No, there's a new day has come. You're not asked to take on the energy of angels. Now, there's nothing wrong with energy of angels. We do take some on from time to time. It's part of our life. But you didn't come to take on the energy of angels. At least I didn't come. Speak for myself. I didn't come to live by the energy. Moses was faithful. I'm not going to look this one up. Moses was faithful in all God's house as a
servant.
Moses was faithful in, that's the Old Testament. And servants, there's two kinds of servants. There's those that usurp authority and take from God, and there's those that come and serve God. Right? Moses was one who was faithful in all God's house like a servant, but at the very, very best, he could be only a servant. That's what the whole of these two chapters are about. When Jesus came, he had to push Moses aside, not because Moses had anything wrong with him, but because the people believed that Moses was the be-all and end-all of God. Mm-hmm. And they're still worshiping Moses. The whole culture still worships Moses.
Yeah.
And the law.
It's true.
Absolutely. Although some of them that do have profound insight, are wonderful beings to get to know. All the Kabbalists and the students of the Old Testament are some wonderful, wonderful things. I don't have anything against that. In fact, I don't know if there's too much that I have anything against. Really. The truth is I'm for a lot of things. Now this one who comes in the second chapter, this one brings a different energy. It's the energy of that eternal Son. But we see Jesus. You have put all subject unto his feet. Who is, second chapter of Hebrews now, who is humankind? Who is anthropos? Who is the Son of Man? Who is man? That you brought him to this planet, that you brought him, lowered him into incarnate form, that you surrounded him with angels and with administrations and with power. Who is this man? Well, we didn't know, we couldn't understand who man is, but we see Jesus, so we can go to heaven after we die. So we can live holier life. So he's another great teacher on the planet. No, but we see Jesus to help us understand something that can't be understood with words. That can't be explained with words. It has to be demonstrated in the body. A man had to come in a physical body and show you that you're more than human.
Amen.
And when you look at him and allow yourself to see him, the profound revelation can get into your cellular structure and help to release you, disconnect you from the gravitational bondage that you have to your material consciousness. And guess what? He's the only way to do that. Not because he as a person is so special, but because that's what he came for. He's the first to bring that energy to the planet, that energy that needs to rule my life, that needs my embodiment for its fulfillment, its completion. It longs for its completion on the planet. It longs for those who will awaken out of the dust, who will open their heart and mind, who will truly inherit their sonship in God, not so they can just empty the hospitals, not so they can be great and bright and save everybody. No, but a sonship that allows God to come in a physical body and live here. And that doesn't need any special abilities.
No.
You don't have to be a superhero, Kirby. You don't have to be a special guru of any kind. You just have to open your heart and allow the awareness of God. Know that you can get up in the morning and God can talk to you that day. You can go to school and God can meet you in some way. God can say something to you. God can awaken in you because you carry his presence all the time. That's the great longing for creation. Creation doesn't want to see superheroes. Creation wants to see divine embodiment. It wants to see a house filled with God, filled with the presence, filled with longing and understanding of God's heart and God's being. The difference between a son and a servant is this one knows God's heart. How are you going to know God's heart? You're going to have to suffer a few things. You're going to have to lose a child. You're going to have to lose a parent. Your children are going to have to go. Seems like they've gone to hell in a basket. You're going to walk through stuff. You can't know God by reading him out of a book. It ain't going to happen. But I still want you to do it.
Me too. I
want to
do it. Amen.
I want to do it.
I can do that.
Why are we there?
Little Caden said I could do it. Little Caden.
All right. Yes, and you know why you can do this, Bethany? You know why you can do what I'm talking about? Because that you are in its very simplest energy, at the very bottom, in its finest, rarest, bottom line form, is God Himself. That's what you are. You're not something separate from Him trying to find Him. You're not something that's supposed to become like Him. You're not. You are already what He is. You already always been His rare, rare substance, going through different levels and frequencies of vibration. You've come a long way down. You've hit bottom, and you're about to go back up.
Amen. That's what's happening.
Amen. In fact, you are going back up. We've hit bottom, folks. If you don't think we've hit bottom, we've hit bottom. I know we have. This nation's going to hit bottom, too. But I ain't going to stay there. I make you a promise. This nation will fulfill its destiny. I don't know how it's going to do it. I don't know what I'm going to have to walk through as a nation. But I tell you what, if you aren't willing to walk through your life, how are you going to save a nation?
That's right.
How can you save this nation if you're not willing to be who you are? And open your heart to God. You don't have to make any changes in your life. You don't have to get thinner or fatter or smarter or dumber, or you don't make the list. You might think I'm talking about you if I just open my eyes too much and look at you. No, whatever change you're going through, we're all going through some change. Aren't you?
Yes, we are.
Come on. Yes. And that change you've been given, so you can learn that it's not about you making the change, it's about you knowing who you are, and then the change will come to you.
Amen. Amen.
All right, I'm going to sing a quick song and then I'll quit. It's enough for one day, isn't it? I've got a little song I want to sing to you.
Well, I've got happiness,
I've got peace of mind, I've got joy of living, and it's so sublime. Real contentment, happy living in accord. I've got happiness all the time, wonderful peace of mind, for I know the Lord. My darkness passed away, my light has come to stay. My joy is always with me, and I feel so free. I am totally connected to my great internal self. I've got happiness all the time, wonderful peace of mind, for I know who I am.
I know I changed it. I know and I see, for I know who I am. That's probably the emphasis I'm finishing on, right? It's not knowing what you can or can't do. It's knowing that you are the divine substance in form. Putting your confidence in that.
Well, my darkness passed away. My light has come to stay. My joy is always with me. And I feel so free. I am totally connected to my great eternal self. Oh, I've got happiness all the time, wonderful peace of mind, for I know who I am.
Whoa, thank you. You're a wonderful audience.
Surrendering to my all.
daughter's in.